Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelall. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. The South Shore's Morning News. Our favorite banker is on the line with us this week. We're so excited, as always, to have Bob Taravecchia from Coastal Heritage Bank. Bob is the chair and CEO. Coastal Heritage Bank, one community, many individuals. One bank that's perfect for you. Coastal Heritage Bank, growing together. Member FDIC, member DIF. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, gang. How are we doing today?
We're doing okay. How are you?
I'm great. Christine, I always laugh when you say favorite banker. I mean, I'd rather be somebody's favorite uncle or favorite,
okay,
you know, cousin.
Second,
but
second
your favorite banker.
You could be second favorite banker. Does that take the pressure off?
Oh, it's so fun. I just wonder how many people laugh at that. You know, they hate their banker, you know? No, I'm only kidding.
Not when it's Bob Taravecchia.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy, listen.
It's all about money and all about love.
He's
what
a banker,
combination.
And he grills hot dogs for people on Halloween.
I love
for
that.
For his entire
yes.
neighborhood.
I don't even know my banker.
Absolutely.
There you go.
You get to meet one. Right, Rob?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's fun. And I know Beth is excited to talk with you about today's topic. And we really are interested in hearing more about this, Bob.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Beth and I happen to have read the same article. So there was an article in this week's Wall Street Journal, and it says, more people treat 401ks as ATMs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get into the article in a minute, but as I'm wont to do, you know, when I grab a topic like that, I go down a rabbit hole. So I started thinking to myself about just the concept of 401ks in general. And I was curious, and I said, I wonder how much money's in 401ks in total. And just kind of break it down from there. We can get into the loan aspect of it. But this surprised me. So there's a website called Investment Company Institute, and I think they're a service organization to represent companies that that offer 401ks. And they have some really good data. And I learned from their website that as of September 30th of 2023, there was approximately $7 trillion in 401k plans in the United States.
Wow.
There's about 700,000 plans, and it covers about 70 million active participants. So, you know, 401ks certainly are very ubiquitous when it comes to the entire, you know, retirement tools that people use. Interestingly enough, they have even more data that in IRAs. So a 401k is an employer-sponsored plan. So it's a plan that your employer sponsors,
mm-hmm.
and people that work at the company can participate. And another vehicle that folks use that are individual in nature are IRAs, individual retirement accounts. And interestingly enough, there's about $12 trillion in IRAs in the entire United States. And overall, in all retirement plans, whether they're a pension or a 401k or a 403b, there's approximately $38 trillion tied up in folks' retirements, which I find those numbers mind-boggling.
Yeah.
They really are. When you break it down a little bit, the numbers down, I found a Vanguard, who's one of the companies that offers a lot of these. They have about 5 million participants in their plans. They have some really cool data. So I'll just really quickly run it through you just some median balances that people have at certain points in their life. So folks that are the median balance of people under 25 is about $2,000. So
okay.
They're just starting out. That makes total sense, right?
Yep.
That makes total sense. As you get a little older, you know, around 30 years of age, the balance goes to the median I'm talking is about 11,000.
Uh-huh.
You get to in the 40s, it's about 28,000. 50s, 48,000, and when you're in your 60s, right around there, it's about 71,000 is the median. Now, the median's much lower than the average. The averages are, you know, somewhat higher, but what I wanted to use the median because the median is the exact midpoint, you know, between the highest and the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you use the average, you could have, let's say 10% of people are really big-time savers. They could have very high balances.
Right.
And that skews the median up. So I wanted to use, the average up. So I wanted to use the median number. It's amazing how much money's out there. Some rules of thumb. I don't know if this makes sense to you, but this is what Vanguard says, that at when you're 30 years of age, you should have about one times your salary in your 401k. By the time you reach 40, they estimate you should have about three times your salary in a 401k.
How about 50?
When you're 50,
yeah.
six times.
Oh, boy.
Six Probably times what? Comp. By the time you're 60, 10 times your comp, your salary. So okay. Those are rules of thumb, Rob. Don't get depressed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Trying not to.
I'm trying to get there.
Bob, let me ask you a question. You said that's the rule of thumb that you should have in that specific account, or are they? What about your specific net worth?
They're talking. Well, that's a good question. I think it was specific to 401ks,
okay.
But because that's going to be your replacement income to replace your salary upon retirement, right? Because, for example, let's say a lot of your net worth is tied up in a home, which most middle class people, that's their biggest asset. That's not going to produce a cash flow in retirement. You may not have a mortgage, if you've paid it off, if you're lucky enough, but it's not going to produce a cash flow. So the cash flow to replace your salary will be the money from your 401k. And obviously Social Security.
I guess I meant by total assets, like if you have other types of savings or investments, not mm-hmm. just in that company-sponsored plan. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yes. I would say that it liquid assets I would include in that, Christine, in addition to your 401k.
Okay, I'll put another 45 cents in there. All set.
Same, Christine.
Wow.
We were talking about 401k. Now,
oh, yeah.
There was another. What precipitated the article was the whether people should take out a 401k loan mm-hmm. or a distribution for a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's like 13% of folks that have a 401k have already taken out a loan,
right?
Which is up from last year, which was 12%. And you have to weigh the pros and cons. About that, Beth, of whether or not I would say this, that if people are under 59 and a half, because there's a 10% penalty, if you take out an early withdrawal would be something that I would, in a hardship, I would only do under extreme pressure. You have no other recourse.
Mm-hmm.
You have no other place to go. Yeah, you need the money. The most common reason, 40% of folks that took out a hardship distribution in 2023 was to avoid foreclosure, according to Vanguard.
And that's a good reason.
It is a good reason.
Yeah.
But most distributions, hardship distributions, are three-quarters of them are less than $5,000, according to Vanguard.
Right.
And they have about 5 million participants. The pros of the loans are this. It's your money, so you don't need to do a credit check, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, each plan is different, but you have to go to your plan documents. Whatever the current rate is that you're paying, you're going to pay back to yourself. So you're going to pay interest back to yourself. So, for example, let's say you were paying 25% on a credit card, and it was just killing you.
Yeah.
You may want to consider a 401k loan, and I don't know what the rate would be. Say it's 8%. It's certainly less interest than what you're paying, correct?
Right.
You're paying the interest back to yourself, so that's a positive, and you're eliminating that high credit card debt. I wouldn't take out a 401k loan to go on vacation or do something that's just, I wouldn't do it that way. But in the instance of trying to improve your future cash flows, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
The cons against it are a lot of times written into the documents is if you leave your employer or you don't pay the loan back, it becomes a distribution, at which time you would be subject to taxes and that 10% penalty. If you're under 59 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of sit down, Beth, do the math, crunch the numbers. It's a big decision.
That's for sure. Do we know any of the numbers on 401ks after all the years, Bob? Do companies not, I've heard of companies that dropped when they used to match, into the 401k. It used to be a big selling point. And I know there's a big company that I, also did some part-time work and they got rid of that.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, typically plans, a lot of plans, hopefully they have those features. If you put in 1%, some plans will match up to, let's say, 3%. You put in 1%, the company will put in 1%.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a plan such, and you should, if you can afford to, because I know that's a big if you can afford to put in at least the same percentage that the company matches, that is highly beneficial to your yeah. retirement, because you're leaving that money on the table, Rob. To answer your question, I would suggest that if a company is under financial stress, they may pull that back,
yeah.
that benefit. I don't have any data on whether or not that's a growing trend. I do not.
Okay. No, it's
you know,
just yeah.
tip. Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, if the company's under financial distress, they're probably going to do that. You yeah. know, I would not be surprised if they did. But they're a great savings vehicle if you can do it. You know, it's because you get old before you know it. I know that. You know, I'm going to hit a milestone this year that I care not to say. And
yeah,
I don't know where the time went.
Me too,
Rob.
My big birthday is coming up in June. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This will be it. Yeah.
Oh, right.
No, yeah. That obviously.
You know?
I know. You still feel so young inside.
Thank you.
Oh, Methuselah.
All right. Well, things to ponder. Bob,
I feel like we all just got depressed.
Coastal.
Don't get depressed. No, it's a sunny day out there.
No, you're right, Bob.
Weekend.
Let's live in the moment.
Right?
Thank you, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
Happy St. Patrick's. Bye-bye.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. The South Shore's Morning News continues. Rob Hackelow with the morning team. Every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy, David Snell, over at AxSmart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
And good morning to you, Rob.
Okay, well, get ready. This week, David is going to welcome us to the Valley of the Creepy AI Dolls. Oh, my.
Social robots. They're a very big thing. Overseas, not quite as popular here in the U.S. You may remember we spoke about one a couple of years ago. It's called Jibo. It was a little social robot roommate that was. It made quite a stir when it first came out, but then it kind of fettered away. It was purchased by another company, has been taken off the market. But that's not to say that there aren't many more creepy AI products out there. And one of them happens to be coming from a company named Hyodolls, or Hyodoll.
Hyodoll.
And they have a Hyodoll, and they have sensor-encrusted or latent ChatGPT-enabled dolls that can interact with their owners.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I was just going to see if I could read more. Hyodoll, and now I'm not sure if it's correct, but this says it's the Korean word hyo, which means piety and love for parents, and the English word doll, Hyodoll, which I guess this makes sense because this is something that you said is geared towards older people, right? It says they want elderly people to be happy in life.
Yeah, and less lonely. So that's what they're developing these types of AI dolls for, so that the older person, whether they're in their home alone or they're in a nursing home, have someone that they can apparently communicate with and hold and love and do all the things that you would do if it was your child. Now, even one of the women in one of the videos says that I have to get home to my baby. It's interesting, and it's you know, the older folks are revered in the Orient, in
yep.
Japan and China and Korea. Not so much here, but there. So they're trying to make their the end of their lives a little more comfortable.
Okay. Well, okay, so it seems like it's coming from a place of love, and we know that isolation really is one of the factors as people get older that they say contributes to a shorter life or a less happier life, feeling isolated and alone. So, you know, that's why they say normally, you know, it's good to have people, you know, come and visit you or get a pet. But I suppose this would be the other inch. Can't do that? How about I stick a robot with you?
And the cost-wise, it's not that bad. If you look at it now, it's $1,800 for one of these dolls. You can get them in boy or girl sexes, and they're an interactive digital pal for folks who are lonely or in long-term care facilities. It's also been mentioned that some of the younger folks in the world today have those same types of feelings, and they're more attuned to technology, so they may be more apt to use this type of a device on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah. You know, you come home, you have a bad day, you say, Hyodoll, you know, listen to me. Well, okay, so this all seems, I guess, if you can get over that idea, seems like it would be a good thing. Is there any downside that we know so far? I mean, obviously, I would have concerns, you know, whether this thing, especially if I were giving it to an elderly relative, are they tracking, you know, is Hayadol going to say, hey, let's go take a trip to the ATM? I mean, what kind of things could happen?
Imagine that, Rob. These are so stuffed with chipsets that they can be controlled remotely by the company that made them, and they could probably be made to do whatever they want them to do. Now, that's, you know, we think about AI, and it goes all the way back to, remember, the computer HAL. When he became self-aware or did what he had to do to Dave. And then, you know, there were some new ones. If you think about a movie that was just out last year, it was called Megan, M3GAN, which was an AI-enabled companion doll that in the end of the movie goes full murder bot. So you need to think about what these things are capable of doing.
I would imagine, yeah. I think there's obviously the potential to have a loved one at risk or to have the technology corrupted, just because I just don't know where the AI is going. It does seem like a good idea, but I guess you would want this thing to either not be connected or, again, I don't know what it would do, or but I could see someone nefariously wanting to stick one of these in everybody's homes.
Exactly. And these are all AI-enabled and IoT devices, so they connect to Wi-Fi, they connect to any type of an internet connection. And, you know, you're not looking at a screen, so you're not really sure what it's doing.
Yeah. Get a Cabbage Patch Kid doll.
There you go.
Well, okay, so, no, but this thing, you're saying, talks to you?
It does. It pretty much holds a conversation.
Wow.
It recognizes when you come in the room. Mm-hmm. It reminds you to take your medications. It reminds you to eat your meals. Obviously, that's pre-programmed, and it's programmed by what the doll actually experiences in your environment. So that's what's interesting and creepy to me.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's strange. It's hard to get my mind about it, but maybe I'm only, because I talk to you, David, every week, that I'm only thinking the worst case scenario. But I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering, people, guys, do you guys like this? I mean, would this be something that an older person should have? I don't know. I mean, I can understand the part about having someone to remind you. We all have issues, you know, sometimes with our memory as we get older and the importance of taking our proper medicine and that sort of stuff. But it should it be this type of thing having that role? I don't know. I don't know. I suppose the studies probably don't say at this point whether, you know, what the long-term effects of the doll would be. But you're saying so far the people that have had it like it?
Yeah, the people that, all those marketing videos.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
people that have it like it.
I love it.
And people that don't like it probably did not get put on the website of the marketing video. But, you know, we talk about ChatGPT and all the other AI-enabled type programs out there, and we still don't know what the full ramification of that's going to be in our future. So I'm not sure that we want one of these devices, at least not the first time around, to be given to my Grammy, who could be in a nursing home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, David. I'm going there. I'm sure you are, too. I'm thinking of iRobot and Gigi, the robot. She won one in the lottery. It was making pies and cooking up dinner, and it was so much fun until it never left her leave her home.
That's right.
For her safety, of course.
Yep.
That's all sci-fi. But again, this all comes around soon enough. So, yeah, I don't know. Interesting. David, if people want to read more about this, where can they go?
They can go to xsmartit.com, click on my blog link, and look at some videos of some of these social robots and what they're touting to be.
All right. Check it out. xsmartit.com. David Snell with us every week at this time. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Rob.
ActSmartIT.com. ActSmartIT.com. Time now on WATD for our Paws and Claws segment. Every week at this time, we focus on the pet and animal world. Our segment is always sponsored by our good friends at The Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call The Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net. Thecleanteam.net. Well, it is the second Tuesday of the month. And on the second Tuesday of the month, we check in with our good friends at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists. And our great friend, Dr. Kira Berg, is back on the line with us this month. Dr. Berg, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How have you been?
Good, good. Very, very nice time with relaxing and enjoying this new sunshine.
Yes, that is nice. Yeah, we've got the sunshine, we changed our clocks, and yeah. Here we are, getting closer and closer to spring and summer. Well, yeah. this week you wanted to talk about ferrets and vaccines?
Yes, yeah.
All right, so fill us in.
Yeah, so in the state of Massachusetts, there are two vaccinations that are required legally for ferrets. The first one is rabies vaccine. I think most people are familiar with that. And then the second one is distemper. So I'll talk about rabies a little bit first. So rabies for ferrets is really important because they follow the same laws and regulations like cats and dogs. So if they bite someone and they have not yet been rabies vaccinated, there is a concern for the potential spread of rabies to humans if that animal has rabies. Unfortunately, rabies is a fatal disease process with the animals that are infected, which includes humans. So from a public health safety perspective, it's really important to get rabies vaccinated for your ferrets, and that is a vaccine that is once a year. When it comes to distemper, that is really important for the protection of dogs and can be spread from animals like raccoons, for example. So even if your ferrets are indoors only, if the dog has been exposed to a raccoon that's infected, and then the dog potentially brings that virus to the ferrets, even if the dog is vaccinated, if it's carrying one of those particles or some of the virus particles on its feet or on its nose and then interacts with the ferret, this is also a very high fatality rate in ferrets. It's a very devastating disease in dogs as well, but I think most people with dogs are going to be vaccinating their puppies for distemper. So most dogs are already vaccinated for distemper. Most ferrets come from Marshall Farms, and they only get one distemper vaccine. And in order to be vaccinated fully against distemper, ferrets actually need three vaccines when they're kits or when they're young ferrets, and then they need an annual booster. So it is really important that whenever people get ferrets that they make sure and look into the history of their vaccination status.
Yeah. Well, okay, so now ferrets, I remember when I was born, I don't think you could even have a ferret. So this is something that's changed over the years, right?
Yes, and depending on the state, ferrets are either legal or illegal. So, for example, in California, they are illegal. In New York, depending on the year, sometimes they are illegal. And in Massachusetts, they are legal, but yes, it definitely depends on the state whether or not they're legal or technically illegal. But that being said, veterinarians are still allowed to see that animal.
Okay, so now I mean, Dr. Berg, I know you work with the different animals. I mean, how would a ferret be even a good pet, or would you need to be careful with kids or?
Yeah, so ferrets when they're young, they're a little bit like puppies, so they can nip a little bit.
Okay,
but they are fantastic, fantastic creatures. They are so friendly. They're so cute. They have wonderful personalities. They're very, very curious. So you get a little bit combination of a cat and a dog, right? So I think, as long as you train the ferrets early on not to nip, they typically are they really just love to cuddle. They love to play. They're very sleepy creatures sometimes. So they're really wonderful animals. The biggest thing is that they're very, very social. So you always want at least two ferrets. And that is really, really important. But most cages are set up to accommodate two to three or even four ferrets. So it's not uncommon that a lot of ferrets will, they, you know, you can readily buy a two floor like Ferret Nation cage, and that's sufficient for having the two or three ferrets because they're going to cuddle with each other.
Okay,
a lot, so
yeah, it would be, you're saying it would be difficult then to just have one ferret live its life alone would be isolating, and that's would be tough for that type of creature.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So they need a friend.
Okay. And then, of course, the importance is we talked about, just like with other animals, it's important to keep up with the vaccines to make sure that for their safety and the safety of others.
Yeah, exactly. And then dogs, and, you know, they're also at risk of getting heartworm, just like cats and dogs. So, you know, ferrets, basically, if you have a ferret, you want to think of them like a cat or a dog. So they should always go to the vet once a year to make sure that they're otherwise healthy, and then get prescription renewals for their, you know, anti-mosquito and flea and tick medication, just like cats and dogs, as well as getting their vaccines. And they are prone to certain diseases that tend to arise between 3 and 4 years old. So again, their lifespan is much shorter, can be anywhere between 6 and 10 years old. So it is important to have, you know, at least annual evaluations for them.
Okay. All right. Good stuff from Dr. Kira Berg with us. She is from Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists. We check in with them once a month, the second Tuesday of every month on WATD.
What happened to your dog?
This is not a dog. This is a ferret.
What's a ferret?
Okay. So there you go. Does anyone remember the movie that was from? Dr. Berg, do you remember what that movie is where he brings a ferret into the classroom?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't know.
No, it's okay. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. It's going back a ways.
Oh, my God. Such a good movie.
Yes. And he brings in that ferret to try to get the kids to calm down and to like him. And I guess it works. They end up liking the ferret. So good stuff. There we go. Dr. Kira Berg, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist with us. Dr. Berg, thank you so much. Good to have you. Take care.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9watd.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9watd.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.